This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
I knew how to quit you.
Is butter a curve?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for him.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you ain't wanted, Ennis. So what we got now is broke right now.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. And at Outtakes, we firmly believe that love is love and that all people, wherever they fall on the wonderful rainbow spectrum that makes up our society, should be equal before the law. That's why at Outtakes, we're continuing our coverage of how queer cinema can get us yes ready. So this week, we're turning our attention to a long list of documentaries that chronicle the worldwide move towards marriage equality. So we'll be looking at The Freedom to Marry later in the program, which tells the inside story of the equal marriage movement in North America through the eyes of those who led it. And we'll be speaking with Evan Wolfson, who has variously been described as the architect of gay marriage. Evan is chronicled by this documentary, and we'll be speaking with him and also with Eddie, the director of The Freedom to Marry later in the program. We'll also be revisiting our chat with Rory O'Neill, also known as Panty Bliss, who spearheaded the Yes campaign in Ireland and whose tireless activism is brought to life in Conor Horgan's The Queen of Ireland. So there really is no doubt that queer cinema, and as we'll see tonight, documentaries, can really help to get us yes ready.
I agree. These are the kind of films that will put a fire in your belly and really give you a real kick up the ass to get out there and not only make yourself yes ready, but also your friends, your family, your work colleagues. It's inspirational. I tell you what, like I was so, I just wanted to get off my couch and just get out there
and do stuff. What I think it is? It's because when we watch, you know, fictional films, we suspend disbelief. We want that happy ending and we know usually we're going to get that. You know, we know it's fake. But right now, sometimes we need a documentary where the good guys do win.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I can suspend disbelief to kind of make me feel better, but sometimes I need to be reminded that actually sometimes
It's doable.
Yeah. And we need to be reminded of that because we'll see news statistics saying, oh, the stats are this and the stats are that, and there is going to be so many reminders that will make us have self-doubt.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a lengthy campaign. We're going to feel fatigue. So what is it that is going to, when we need to escape, help us escape, but actually show us it can be done.
And there are so many brilliant documentaries, really important documentaries, particularly for our political milieu. But there are so many documentaries that do chart and chronicle the fight for equal marriage. Yeah. So, of course, we're looking at The Freedom to Marry tonight, and we're also looking at The Queen of Ireland. But other documentaries like The Case Against Aid, Limited Partnership, The State of Marriage, Savage Marriage, Pursuit or Saving Marriage, The Pursuit of Equality. These are all documentaries that can inspire us and teach us how to cultivate, you know, a lot of these documentaries actually teach us how to cultivate conversations and have conversations with people, because we know that conversations are one of the most important thing. But they can, as you said, Gina, they remind us that this is doable.
And gives us opportunities of ways to advocate, some really clever ways of advocating, because the way we advocated back in the Mardi Gras days have changed. The way we interact with police, the way we interact with government, the way we interact with media has changed. I loved watching The Freedom of Marriage go, hey, and you sit there taking notes. You do, because it gives you notes about how to have conversations with your neighbours, with your colleagues, because the world has changed. So we learn from this and we learn ways of communicating with people and bringing people along. And that's what I loved about that doco.
But the other thing to note is, you know, Alan, we did a program a couple of weeks back about how queer cinema can give us strength and courage and inspire us over the next month or two during this postal
survey period.
You know, postal survey, postal hate poll, postal plebiscite, whatever you want to call it. It's not.
Hang on. Respectful debate.
I'm just going to stay off Twitter again tonight, I think.
But what I love about queer cinema, not just documentaries, but our cinema more broadly, is that one, it is ours, and two, it can give us strength and courage in times like this.
Absolutely. And it gives us hope as well.
It does.
Yeah, we'll take that as a comment.
That's what it does.
It does.
It inspires.
Yeah.
But I think also too, it also tells us that these things don't happen by themselves. We all have to contribute. We all have to get up and do something.
And that they don't happen quickly, unfortunately, as much as we want these things to happen quickly. And again, I'm referring back to the film we're going to look at later, The Freedom to Marry, Evan Wolfson's fight. His activism is not something that happened in a year. It's not that something that happened in a couple of
decades.
Years. This was his thesis in high school.
1983.
Yeah, in university.
So
it's a marathon, not a sprint kind of thing.
A couple of weeks ago, we looked at how queer cinema can inspire us and what lessons it can teach us. And, you know, we looked at films like Milk. We looked at Prayers for Bobby. We even looked at films like Let It Go for the lessons they can teach us and how they can prepare us for the Yes campaign.
You mean Frozen?
Let It Go is the song from Frozen. We looked at Let It Go from Frozen.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to sit there going, Let It Go?
Let It Go.
I don't remember that film.
But there are some other films that can get us ready in a different kind of way. So if you're wondering about, you know, what you need to do.
There's a key box you need to tick, isn't there?
And I think there's quite
which box is that?
Yeah.
Well,
I wonder.
What films?
Please make a call. Yes.
Yes!
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 Again.
Yes.
Yes! Say it again.
Yes!
Make me believe it.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes!
So that was a clip from, if you can't tell, The Yes Man, clearly encouraging us all to vote yes. I mean, clearly that's why they
film, the message of that film is stop saying no and you'll stop being miserable. You'll hook up with someone. If only we could teach some of those no people how happy you could be if you just said yes and you'll hook up. You'll find love.
But it's not just The Yes Man that encourages us to vote yes. I mean, I think Meg Ryan put it just as well as Jim Carrey.
God. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I'll have what she's having.
Classic.
Well, that was, of course, When Harry Met Sally. Meg Ryan reminding us what we need to do this week. We need to vote yes.
Mm. You know, whenever I see that clip, I always, always reflect on what I'm missing out on as a boy. I'm thinking, you know what? You know, I think that for boys, it doesn't happen. It's much, much quicker than that.
Really?
That was a good 30 seconds. Wow. I mean, like, that's amazing. I mean, like, seriously, I think the girls have got it.
I don't want to make you feel bad, but yes, we do.
Yes, yeah. Mm.
Any other examples of how we can convince this one little word they need to tick on a form?
Yes, 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 yes.
Daniel clearly wants to have what Meg Ryan's having there. And we got that one. Now, can I just assure you, there are some real nasty people out there in the Twitter sphere. And in, you know, Facebook, I find that yes clip the best gift to return fire when someone's been a bit nasty. So highly recommend you gif away with a bit of Meg Ryan.
Well,
yes,
if,
yes.
if Meg Ryan's not readily available, how about some Nicole?
Ooh.
Yes, 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 this is what I want, naughty word. Yes, 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 yes.
But it's the best I can do.
Naughty, don't stop. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, there you go. You know, if it's not enough that Nicole says yes, if it's not enough that Meg Ryan says yes, and if it's not enough that Jim Carrey says yes, then, you know, I don't know what's going to be enough.
Quite seriously, these are some of the best ways to have these conversations with, you know, friends and family that we're trying to get on board. And sometimes it's going to be with humour that we're going to bring people along. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend give out those yes clips to people on your social medias, especially if someone's been a bit nasty. If you don't want to block them, maybe give them a bit of Meg's yes. We'll have
That's
what she's
great
having.
Idea.
It really, you know, bring idea. People along with a bit of you know, light, yeah. and it really does.
Bit
work.
Of love, bit of humour,
bit of humour,
you know,
bit of that.
I
yes.
think about some of the terrible, really hostile and difficult conversations that I've engaged in on social media over the past week.
They don't deserve,
how quickly
deserve
they
response.
Could have been resolved with that Thank kind
you.
Of clip.
I mm-hmm. have used Meg yeah. Ryan's clip a lot because some of those don't deserve a response. It is my mic drop moment yeah. when I give them a little yes, yes, yes. Thanks, Meg.
Brilliant.
Well, taking us out to some messages, I think let's dip our toes back into the waters of Moulin Rouge, which if we're talking about the lessons that queer cinema can teach us, truth, beauty, peace and love. I mean, that's the mantra of Moulin Rouge. So all you need is love.
Is it? Oh, of course, yes.
Love is a many splendid thing. What? Love lifts us up where we belong. All you need is love.
Please don't start that again.
All what? You need is love.
A girl has got to eat.
All you need is love.
She'll end up on the street.
All you need is love.
Love is just a game.
I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving me.
The only way of loving me, baby, is to pay a lovely fee.
Just one night, just one night.
There's no way, cause you can't pay.
In the name.
Don't
leave me this way. I can't survive without your sweet love. Oh, baby, don't leave me this way.
You think that people would have had enough of silly love songs?
I look around me and I see it isn't so. No.
Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs.
Well, what's wrong with that? I'd like to know. Cause here I go. Yeah.
Joy 94.9.
Have any of you ever been standing at a pedestrian crossing when a car goes by and in it are a bunch of lads and they lean out the window as they go by and shout fag and throw a milk carton at you? Now, it doesn't really hurt. I mean, after all, in many ways, they're right. I am a fag. It feels oppressive. And when it really does hurt is afterwards. Because it's afterwards that then I wonder and worry and obsess over what was it about me? I mean, what did they see in me? What was it that gave me away? I mean, to grow up in a society that is overwhelmingly and stiflingly homophobic and to somehow escape unscathed would be miraculous. So I don't hate you because you're homophobes. I actually admire you. I admire you because most of you are only a bit homophobic. But I do sometimes hate myself. I hate myself because I fucking check myself when standing at pedestrian crossings. And sometimes I hate you for doing that to me.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where we are looking at how queer cinema can get us, yes, ready. In particular, we're looking at documentaries this evening, and that was Rory O'Neill, also known as Panty Bliss, who is chronicled by the Queen of Ireland, and that speech is part of a broader what's been termed the Noble Call at Abbey Theatre, which is a really pivotal moment in the documentary.
It is, and I think that it follows on after Panty's appearance on their national broadcaster, where
there was some litigation because he called people homophobic.
And what made it worse was that they paid these people out €85,000. And I think this is when Panty got up on stage and really presented his case to really describe what it means to live in a homophobic society, what it means to live with this oppression of others, but also of yourself. He was talking there about self-editing his own behaviour and how he finds that oppressive.
Now, we spoke with Rory O'Neill last year when we looked at drag cinema, and you can head to the Outtakes podcast page and listen to our full interview with Rory O'Neill there. But what's interesting about those two things, Alan, that you've just outlined, the litigation around calling people homophobic, and also this noble call at the Abbey Theatre, is that both of those events kind of catapulted Rory unknowingly, unwittingly, into the public spotlight and into the position of one of the leaders of the Yes campaign.
That's right.
Because it was kind of coterminous with the referendum in Ireland. Of course, Ireland had to have a referendum because marriage is something that is dealt with in a very different way by the Irish Constitution. It's not dealt with in the kind of way that would mandate a referendum here in Australia. Rory had no choice but to, or rather he just found himself as what he calls an accidental advocate.
In Pantygate.
That's right.
It was Pantygate. The name for it.
You know what they say? They say that sometimes, you know, greatness is thrust upon you, and this is exactly what happened here. He stepped up. He assumed the mantle and became, and he was at the vanguard, the forefront of the Yes vote and marriage equality in Ireland.
Which is why I think there's so much that we can glean from it now as we're facing our own postal plebiscite or postal hate poll. And we could never have anticipated that the situation would turn out quite this way when we spoke with Rory last year. But what I found really interesting going back and listening to the interview was how pertinent it was all the same. And indeed, we asked Rory whether it is a good idea to have some kind of public vote here in Australia. And this is what Rory had to say.
Ireland had this long, deep national conversation about how it treats gay citizens, and we had the referendum campaign, and the whole country got together and voted on it. So in a sense, in Ireland, it's a done deal. I think Australia has not had the opportunity to have that conversation yet. Do I think that marriage equality is coming to Australia? Absolutely it is. It's just a question of, you know, when.
You're right, it's a question of when, but also, acutely, it's a question of how, and that the present government is, of course, proposing a plebiscite, which I think would impel quite a similar conversation to the conversation that you saw in Ireland, because, of course, that was a referendum. Now, the difference here is that there is no constitutional clause around marriage, so it's not necessary to put a vote to the people, and there is a lot of fear, and I think this is something the documentary tapped into, the fear prior to the referendum of what happens if they say no.
Well, I don't think you should be having a plebiscite. We were forced into having a referendum because we needed to change our constitution, but do I think that Australia should be having a plebiscite? Absolutely no, I don't. I think the campaign around the plebiscite will be similar to the one around our referendum, and it is an unpleasant, long, difficult, and at times upsetting and depressing experience to be having that conversation. And I also think that that's a silly idea in the first place, because you have already elected your politicians to represent you.
Yeah.
So why on earth do you need to go and have the time and spend the time and the money and the energy and the work on a plebiscite when you've already elected political representatives to represent your views?
Wise words from Anti-Blizz.
And he's so eloquent, isn't he? He's so well-spoken, and he gets right to the point. And I think what came out in that film was there is a scene there where he's actually talking to the crowd saying, you should be angry. You know, any criminal, your local criminal, you're a local deadbeat can get married, your local sex offender can get married, but you cannot. You should be angry, and that should be driving you and inspiring you to get out there and get some stuff done. And I tell you what, that was that moment in the film where I'm going, yes, Panty, you are right. Yeah. I am angry. That is upsetting me, and I'm furious.
Any soccer hooligan, any fascist, any murderer, any sex offender can get married, but you cannot. Let the gays get married and the sky will fall down. Get behind the campaign, do your bit.
Well, that was Rory O'Neill, the clip, Alan, that you were talking about.
And this is the thing. We are encouraging people to sit down and watch this in these next couple of weeks. These are the films that will help re-inspire you. When you are tired and when you're just like, you know what, I can't see it anymore. Sometimes you need to see things that have succeeded, that have hurt but have succeeded, and this is a great example of that. Yeah, and you know what, we want to know what other films, what other docos make you want to feel yes ready, or make your friends and family feel yes ready.
They don't just have to be docos.
No, and they can be films, and they can not have to be queer films. They can be any film that inspires you to want to make a change or to see a positive change, and we'd like to hear those. Message in on 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Films that make you want to be yes ready.
And in fact, we've had a message in.
Oh, there you go. They heard the call that quick. Who have we heard from there, Alan?
Oh, we've had a message in from, oh, I can't see the
an name. Anonymous message.
Oh, an anonymous message. I thought it was just me, but obviously not. It's truly anonymous. An anonymous has written and said, ballroom rules. Sorry, ballroom rules, LGBTI documentary on same-sex dancing in Melbourne.
Brilliant. If it inspires.
Yes. Freudian slip there.
Oh, just a bit. But look, I definitely, you know, films... I had an interesting moment with my nephew yesterday. I was telling the guys before we came off air. And so I've been thinking about films that make kids aware and not yes ready because they can't vote.
And I said to you, yes, you should show him The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
And I'm like, no, that's terrible. But, you know, our kids are going to be subjected to this stuff in a way that's a little bit different. And my nephew kind of shared how they were at a pizza parlor and he saw some flyers that were really hurtful, and he was really embarrassed to share that information with me because to him his aunties in a relationship just makes sense. So we, you know, we kind of had to explain it to him in a way that kind of says, well, some people think we're different. So, you know, films I was thinking about for him, the conversation was about civil rights, stuff that he's starting to learn about in school and going, yeah, that the way people were treated just makes no sense.
And we know
it's laughable
now. broad range of films to deal with civil rights.
There are some amazing films for kids.
Are really pertinent to this point. And you know what I would say, in all seriousness, any chance to show someone a Disney film,
look, Disney films, of course, but you know,
Disney films have been traditionally critiqued for being imperialist and not sensitive to issues of race and difference. But actually, we've looked at this quite a bit. Yeah. I think we can learn a lot from a lot of Disney films about.
I love Disney, but it is true. Disney films are good, but I would recommend films like Pay It Forward because it uses a very young protagonist, and it's a goodwill movement. Film, it shows what a young child can do with goodwill and generosity, and that's a great film that to inspire young kids that you can make a difference. The Power of One is another fabulous film when we're wanting to inspire young kids. Hidden Figures, another one. To Kill a Mockingbird, if you think the kids are old enough to understand and appreciate that story, yes, it's a really old, gorgeous black and white film. They'll probably get to read the book in high school. But highly recommend, you know, when we're trying to inspire and show kids that there have been times in our history where people have been treated with difference and we look back at those days and we go, how embarrassing, and yes, that's wrong.
That's right.
These films might be a good way to inspire young ones. So, they're my tips. Definitely, you know, The Power of One and Pay It Forward.
Yeah.
Especially and with a young, inspiring protagonist.
Our anonymous messenger has messaged in again. Thank you, Megan. No longer an anonymous messenger.
How do you know it's Megan? It could be Megan.
Oh, well. Megan, if you could write back phonetically on 0427 Jordan.
Please clarify for us. And what's Cloudburst? What's that?
Oh, that's a lesbian film. It's a fantastic film. Kind of a road movie. I don't want to give a spoiler, but yeah, gorgeous love story.
So message in.
It paints a picture, Gina. Cloudburst. It really does.
Helen.
What?
Yes. Play that yes clip again.
Message in. Let us know what film's going to get you yes ready, what film's going to sustain you through the next month, what film you're going to learn from, and what film is going to inspire you. Coming up next, we'll be looking at a documentary that we think is very inspiring. The documentary is, of course, The Freedom to Marry. We'll be looking at it right after this.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are looking at how queer cinema can get us yes ready, how queer cinema can sustain us through the next month, through this postal plebiscite. And in particular, we're turning our attention to some really inspiring and I think encouraging and powerful documentaries.
Freedom to Marry, which we have covered before here on Outtakes, but if ever there was a blueprint of how this can work and how it can be done, unfortunately with our High Court it wasn't, but I'd recommend people do sit down and watch The Freedom to Marry. And what The Freedom to Marry does is actually document and show us those final moments in the US Supreme Court when they won the right to marriage equality in the US. And talk about edge of your seat. You know the outcome of this going in, but you are still sitting on the edge of your seat.
You are sitting on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, because it's just...
It's nail-biting stuff.
It is.
You know what? That's the skill of the filmmaker.
It is. It's a really good skill because...
That's filmmaking at its best.
We know the outcome going in. We know that they're successful in this appeal. But it literally it takes you back to a few key moments of a few of the key participants in this, of the legal team, as to when the story started for them. And we watch, for me, the most amazing, and I hate to use the word character because she wasn't a character. This was her journey.
Mary Bonato.
Who literally...
Potato, potato.
But she was the key lawyer in there fighting the case. She was the one on the ground. And to see her...
It's so funny because last week when the case was being heard in the High Court, she was all I could think of because of this documentary, because it so vividly explores her anxiety around the case and how much preparation went into it. Of course, the case was fundamentally different.
Yeah.
You can't compare the two cases because marriage equality will never be won in our courts. It can't be because... we don't have the same kind of
constitution
or Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights.
But this poor woman, you could see the you know, we can't see what happens in the courtroom, but you see what happens after as everyone's kind of patting her on the back, and all she can do for the weeks that she's waiting for the verdict is go over transcripts, go over everything she said, how she prepared, how she thought she was prepared, and you could just see this woman playing this case again and
the
again.
The wonderful
and again
thing that the documentary does, while it explores her story and the story of Evan Wolfson, who's been described as the architect of gay marriage, while it explores their stories so well, it also does a really excellent job of showing that everyone can make a difference.
Yes.
That it's not just the people at the forefront of the movement, but that every person has the potential to make a difference. And that, I think, is what is so powerful about this documentary.
Why should this one difference in emotional and romantic affection condemn people to a life of isolation and fear?
The Supreme Court says it will take up the issue of same-sex marriage.
The biggest gay rights ruling ever.
This is about the dignity of millions of Americans.
The essence of the right to marry is the freedom to marry the person you choose.
Evan is the visionary behind this movement.
His true gift was to be the marriage guy.
Because I knew that this was a national conversation that was going to change everything. It's been 4+ decades of work.
Evan, it's good to have you back. I mean, you have worked more than anybody else on this.
And now America is ready for the freedom to marry.
I was handed the ball. I was both exhilarated and terrified. I've never argued in the Supreme Court.
The real heart of this issue is real people who've committed to one another, who simply want to make that commitment a legal one.
Comparing being gay to an alcoholic.
Yes, you have to choose promiscuity or purity.
When something is wrong, you should do something to change it.
It makes a difference whether it happens this year or next year or 5 years from now. It makes a real difference to real people.
Wish I had tons of time to prepare for this.
You only have one chance and you want to get it right.
I always believed we could win. You have to believe.
Well, that was the trailer for The Freedom to Marry. Mm. It's the film by Eddie Rosenstein that chronicles the movement fighting for marriage equality in the US right up until that final decision in 2015. And what I love about that trailer is you get just a snippet of the kind of debates that were being had by and large within the community. And there's this one moment, Gina, I don't know if you remember
mother,
where the mother,
where you're going,
she throws herself into the lion's den and says, my son is gay and he deserves the same rights as your son, to someone who's standing there with a God hates gays placard. And just
she was
the
never
going to
win against that hate of
her. No, but the strength, the courage and the strength, it was utterly inspiring. So, look, there's no doubt that it's powerful. We sat down with the filmmaker Eddie Rosenstein and chatted with him about why he decided to tell the story from this perspective. And this is what Eddie had to say.
Freedom to Marry follows sort of the surprising story of how same-sex marriage became the law of the land in America. The surprising part of the story is that there are people that made this happen, that there was a strategy, there was a campaign, and that it didn't happen overnight, and it isn't a recent phenomenon. It wasn't just that culture changed. It was that people actually worked really hard on this for decades. So I followed particularly a couple people, a man named Evan Wolfson, who is often called the architect of same-sex marriage, and the woman named Mary Bonato, who was the lead attorney for the movement and of the final case as well. I followed them on the final year of the final, the large, you know, penultimate battle, but used that as a way of also going through, it was almost like a window into a much longer struggle.
What was it that made you think this was the appropriate angle for this documentary, that you wanted to follow these people and make the story as much about them as about the events?
Well, all the films I tend to gravitate to are stories of unsung heroes. And you know, you wouldn't notice Evan on the street or in a restaurant. He's not Martin Luther King or the Pope or somebody whose, you know, picture you would recognize. He's unremarkable. He's, you know, just a regular guy. You wouldn't know that somebody like that could change the world. But I think the story I really wanted to tell from the start is that regular people can roll up their sleeves and make a difference. And those are our heroes, people who just work hard and push that ball up the hill. But for me, sort of the genesis of this film was twofold. It wasn't just that I wanted to tell this story and eavesdrop on a particularly important moment in history. I have two teenage sons, and you know, even before, you know, the presidential election here in America, I had, you know, been saying to them one of those typical dad stories that, you know, the world's getting really messy and I'm really sorry we've left you this huge mess, but, you know, hopefully you guys can buck up and your generation has a lot of work to do. And they look at me and they say, well, what are we really supposed to do? I mean, people just bitch on Facebook and, you know, we go to rallies and everybody just complains, but nobody really changes the world. And I wanted them to see that people really can change the world and that people like Evan and Mary really do. Now, obviously, it's a movement. It takes millions of people. But my goal was to personify it and show not just the leaders, but a couple of the main soldiers along the way, especially for this case, because by putting a human face on it, it becomes very real.
Forever can never be long enough for me. Feel like I've had long enough with you. Forget the world now, we won't let them see. But there's one thing left to do. Now that the weight has lifted, love has surely shifted my way. Marry me. Today and every day. Marry me. If I ever get the nerve to say hello in this cafe, say you will. Say you will. Marry me. Stay every day.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening we are exploring how queer cinema can get us, yes, ready, how it can sustain us through the next month. And in particular, we're looking at some really key documentaries that I think can give us courage and encourage us to really roll up our sleeves and be an advocate, even if it's with people that we know, even That's if right. it's with our neighbours, people in our workplace.
Tell a story. Tell your
story. As Captain Planet once said, the power is yours.
Oh, that's right. Don't know Captain Planet. Must be an age thing.
Captain Planet?
Hey, Harry Met Sally. We've got a few little things, conversations to have later, off air.
I think what Panty Bliss was able to demonstrate to us all is that when you tell your story, it is very powerful.
Yeah.
It engenders empathy in the person that you're talking to, and they can relate. And I think this is what this is that in terms of your own advocacy, if you can actually just get out there and just to talk to people, and over a cup of tea, isn't that what the commish says?
You know, commish says one cup of tea at a time, or long espresso martini in my book. Look, even in The Freedom to Marry, we see a gorgeous example of rainbow families going and chatting with the Pollies when they were making some of these decisions. And what they were doing was going, using these words, using these phrases, but here we are. When you say family, this is it. And personalising that story. And we've seen our own rainbow families out, heading over to Canberra, telling their stories. And that's the important, brave stuff.
And someone else who did that, of course, is Evan Wolfson, who really dedicated his life to the cause. Evan is chronicled by this documentary, The Freedom to Marry, which to a large extent tells the story of the fight for marriage equality through Evan's eyes. Evan was listed as one of the most influential people in the world by Time magazine. He has been called the architect of gay marriage by numerous publications. So it was a thrill to speak with him earlier in the year when we looked at The Freedom to Marry in more depth. Of course, when we did speak with him, we asked him why the freedom to marry is so important. And this is what Evan had to say.
The freedom to marry matters deeply to committed and loving same-sex couples in the same ways and for the same mix of reasons as it matters to different sex couples. It is the language in which, in our societies, we talk about love and commitment and family and connection and inclusion. And the law should be on the side of families and should be on the side of these deep values. Marriage is also a gateway in which we, through marriage, enter into a web of connections and relationships and opportunities that provide a mix of tangible and intangible responsibilities and protections that affect every area of life, from birth to death, with taxes in between.
Yeah.
And those tangible protections, as well as the intangible meanings, matter deeply to gay people as to non-gay people. And finally, the freedom to marry matters, particularly in societies like the United States, where we won, and Australia, where we're working to win.
Yeah.
Because when people are denied marriage by the government, it means that the government is the number one discriminator against gay people. It is sending a message of inferiority, of exclusion, of denial that reinforces prejudice and stereotypes. The government should be on the side. The law should be on the side of the families. It should be on the side of all people. It should not be reinforcing prejudice and exclusion.
What would you say then, Evan, to the people who say treat equals equally and unequals unequally?
I would agree. Let's treat equals equally. Love is love. Commitment is commitment. When gay people build families and do the hard work of marriage in our day-to-day life, of caring for somebody, of allowing someone to enter our life, of connecting families, of raising children, of worrying about our aging parents, of fighting over who's going to take out the garbage, we are doing the same work. We are upholding the same values. We are living up to the same aspirations, and we deserve the same equal treatment.
Do you have a message then, Evan, for Australian advocates who are continuing to lobby for the freedom to marry?
Yeah, my absolute advice is don't take the pressure off. Don't let their bungling or their political games foster the cynicism that it'll never happen or these guys don't know what they're doing or we can't make our voices heard, which is what they would like. This is something we have to keep engaging them, that we want this done, that it's time it be done, that Australia needs to move forward. The country will be happy and people will move forward. There will be no recriminations. There will be no political reverberations because people will move forward, because this is actually what the overwhelming majority of Australians want, including the majority of younger, even conservative Australians. Younger people support the freedom to marry. Generational momentum is with the freedom to marry, and the politicians today need to do the right thing and move the country forward.
Well, that was part of our chat with Evan Wolfson, and what an inspiration.
My goodness, he's free now. Has anyone asked? You know, I've got a spare room. Evan, if you are listening, you're more than welcome to come and hang out in Melbourne for the next 2 months, because we might need you. I'd invite him.
That's a great idea. But I think really what he's saying, why it's important for us to be able to have the freedom to marry, and I think the key thing here is for this to end our marginalisation, to end this disequality.
Well, I don't think anyone's saying that it will completely eradicate it. There's no doubt that when the law treats two classes of people differently, people will take it as their cue to treat those people differently as well. There is no doubt. So as long as the law treats the queer community differently to everyone else, we will always be second-class citizens.
Yeah. Sorry, Daniel. Sorry to talk over the top of you, but I think that is what the real fear is. That's the real fear in the community is that people will no longer be able to have that sense of privilege, that sense of elitism, that ability to think that they are above us. And I think that's the true fear here, is that they will no longer, they fear being treated the same as us, that they're no longer any better than us.
And I think, look, you know, at the before this, a couple of weeks ago, about over a month ago, some of us were talking about boycotting, we're talking about this, and now we've quickly come to realise that this discussion, this permission that has been given to the Australian community is not just about the freedom to marry, as the documentary says, and we've all come to realise that it is more than that. And that's why we need to get Yes Ready. We need to convince the people around us to get Yes Ready.
Well, we are looking at how queer cinema can help us get Yes Ready. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Mama, I don't have time for dancing. That's just gonna have to wait a while. Ain't got time for messing around, and it's not my style. This old town can slow you down, people taking the easy way. But I know exactly where I'm going, getting closer and closer every day.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. And we are listening to Almost There from The Princess and the Frog. We're listening to it, one, because it's a rare Outtakes episode where we don't have Disney playing in the background, but two, because we are almost there. And I think this is a hopeful song. You know, we're talking about what films are going to sustain us through the yes vote. Mm. For me, it's childhood films like this that take you to a safe and happy place. And I think cinema can do that. I think that's a really important function of cinema.
Yeah.
But you know what? We are so close. We are almost there.
Alan, what are you going to watch to make you yes ready, Dil?
Well, I'm going to dare to dream. And it's not quite queer cinema, but I think we should get ourselves in the mood, get us sort of prepared for when we do have marriage equality, what kind of things we really want to be able to do, which is why I think The Wedding Planner is definitely on my list.
Fabulous.
The Wedding Singer.
Love it.
My Best Friend's Wedding.
Oh, yes, for dancing.
And those are all very queer, Alan.
And of course, I wake up.
And of course, my favourite, 27 Dresses.
Love it.
All as camp as we would
expect. We've all been the bridesmaid, but never the bride. So if that shouldn't just be like our totem movie to watch, I don't know.
Love it.
Gina, what are you going to watch to get you yes ready?
You know what? I'm someone who does like to escape and to watch something, but something sentimental. So I'll probably be escaping to films like E.T., which will allow me to cry because it will get me emotional, but it will also make me feel quite uplifted in the end. But I highly recommend tonight. I want you all to be inspired. Hate to pitch out another show, but Australian Story are showing a great gay foster dad episode.
This is not beautiful, a promo.
Not a promo, but you know what? We need to see positive reflections of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Very rare on free-to-air TV, and it's going to be on tonight. Two gay foster dads, John and Dennis.
The wonderful thing about queer cinema is that it is profuse now. We have so many films that we can draw on to get us yes ready and to give us strength. Queen of Ireland and The Freedom to Marry, which we looked at tonight, are just two great examples of how queer cinema can help inspire us, help encourage us, and help get us yes ready. Another really great example, which we looked at a short while ago, is Milk. So to take us out for the end of this week's Outtakes, the wonderful, what's been termed the hope speech from the 2008 film Milk. This is Sean Penn in Milk.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you. I want to recruit you for the fight to preserve your democracy. Brothers and sisters, you must come out. Come out to your parents. Come out to your friends, if indeed they are your friends. Come out to your neighbors. Come out to your fellow workers. Once and for all, let's break down the myths and destroy the lies and distortion. For your sake, for their sake, for the sake of all the youngsters who have been scared by the votes from Dade to Eugene.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.